Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this fifth day of January 2023. And I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest today. She is only going to be referred to as Nan, that's N-A-N, and the reason for that should be self-explanatory once I give you her details. She's an acting coach helping students audition for American and British drama schools, and she's addressing her testimony, a Chinese atheist pursuing an acting career in the United States finds eternal life in Christ Jesus. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Nan.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Chris. It's my pleasure to be here.
And, well, let's go right into your story, Nan. In fact, let me first give our listeners our email address. If you would like to join us with a question of your own for Nan, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. I would also urge you to text or email or call all that you know who may be Chinese immigrants to this country, or perhaps they're in other parts of the world, that you want to listen to this live broadcast, and perhaps also those who are evangelizing Chinese friends and loved ones, or perhaps just the Chinese in general. They may have a ministry outreach to the Chinese. Have them tune into this program, because I think they will find it quite fascinating and edifying. And in fact, tell everyone you know who is an atheist to listen in, or if they are ministering to atheists as well. But Nan, tell us about your life in China as far back as you can remember being raised as a child there.
Sure. So I grew up in a small town in the middle part of China, and my parents, they are Communist Party member, and our life was quite good. I think that's one of the reasons I never really questioned about God's existence, and it worked quite okay until I came to the U.S.
Well, you, I know that you have identified yourself prior to coming to Christ as an atheist. Was this is something that you were that you were firmly convinced of before coming to Christ? Tell us more about the mindset of atheism that you had in your upbringing and in your general life in China. And even coming to here initially.
I was I was educated, you know, to be a hard worker, to have good virtue, and be kind to people. And we have a lot of Chinese Asian philosophy teaches us to be so as well. And it's kind of how we teach ourselves, teach our children to be. And it worked well for some part of when we are thinking about who we want to be, even though it doesn't really explain where we come from and where we will be after we die. But for the current life, Chinese philosophy kind of makes sense. I was quite welcomed and popular by having good personality and a good virtue. So I didn't really question why, I didn't question about God's existence. And it was fine that I live a life without God.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned virtue being a part of your life. As an atheist, did it ever occur to you, as Christian apologists often say to atheists when they're having conversations or debates, that an atheist really has no background or foundation or basis to develop an understanding of what is virtue, what is right, what is wrong, what is morality, what is immorality? Because if you believe we are just evolved from pond scum and that there is no perfect, righteous, holy, eternal creator, and there is no inerrant scripture or inerrant guide to introduce those living on this planet to what is right and wrong, that an atheist really has no business being critical of what anybody else thinks about that issue of what is right and what is wrong. Did that ever occur to you?
I know now, because I have this Christian mentality, I would think, okay, my previous thinking about good virtue didn't bear a closer analyze. But back then, because, you know, the surrounding people who were around me, and also the way I was taught in school, at home, in the society, were all like that. Like, good virtue means you do good things, not like checking my real heart. So I wouldn't go that far away to say, okay, do I really know what is good virtue or not? If that makes sense.
Yes. And you have said that you were content not believing in God for a period of your life, perhaps the majority of it, because you are a young woman. When did that begin to change? When did your curiosity and perhaps your conscience begin to gnaw at you?
Yeah, I like the word consciousness. So, as an atheist, I kind of give myself a meaning of living a life is to make a difference. So I thought, okay, why am I living this life? Because I want to do something for the world. So when I die, at least I did something. That was the kind of goal for my life. I thought theater was a way for me to achieve that. So I came to the U.S. I started to have acting training in school. The first year at school, at drama school, what struck me was that I think drama education should really humble us so that we can have compassion for anyone, even for the cleaner, the beggar, anyone. But somehow acting training, I felt like so many people I saw acting training make us become more I wouldn't, the snobbish, the word sounds very harsh, but more like, okay, I'm doing this because I want to do acting. It kind of lose the connection with the real people and the real world. And I start to question why it become like this. Because my intention of doing acting is to be more grounded to life, to people. But however, well, I was doing that, I was off, and I see a lot of people were off. Even the whole industry was off. So that kind of gave some, like open a crack over there. And also, I worked very hard, and I still didn't achieve what I want to achieve. So there was a huge sense of failure. Disappointed on myself, and I thought as long as I work hard, so I could literally not go to sleep and kept analyzing my script, practicing my acting. I thought this is the way I can become better, but I found after a long period of trying, I felt that way of thinking of myself and the work didn't offer me a way out. No matter how hard I try, I can drive myself crazy, but there's no way out. And I'm thinking, okay, am I going to live a life like this forever? And am I going to teach my children to be like this? If being successful is a goal for our life, that's a tragedy.
Yes, amen.
So that kind of add that crack a little wider. Yeah. Oh, and also the way I talk about, you know, having good virtue and working hard, that make me live a good life in China didn't help me fit in American culture. So well, people are kind of using another system to judge people. So what I brought from China didn't work anymore when I was in the US. So that confused me as well. It's like my old self is not working well in the US. And I'm trying to find a new way. So I tried. I went to the club with my fellow actors. I tried to live a life because I thought I was too healthy to be an actress. So I tried to pick up their way, which I think may help me become normal. Then I felt I was losing myself. So then I was kind of stuck. Going back to my old self didn't work, but becoming who they are, becoming what other people are, didn't work as well. So I kind of got an identity crisis. I know a teenager probably would have that crisis, but it just happened to me in my 20s as well. I got this crisis.
Now, what did you mean by you were too healthy to be an actor? What is that?
Because, even in acting class, sometimes we need to use our sense memory, and also for modern, if you are familiar with a lot of modern, a script, modern drama, it's always so dark. It's not about kind of normal people's life. It's all about twisted personality, family story. And I read many a script which I mentally couldn't really understand, and let alone to act it. So I thought, oh, because my personal life was too healthy, I couldn't understand messy people's life. So I know it sounds silly.
Yeah, well, you'd never understand my life because I'm quite a messy individual. but going back to China again, What was your concept of Christianity? Had you ever met genuine Bible-believing Christians? Had you heard about it somewhere in some form of media or literature? How did you become aware of Christianity, and what were your thoughts on it?
Growing up in my hometown, there was a kind of abandoned church building. I think I only ran into once, and it felt a little bit, that building was a lot, was old, dark. So I think I ran out quickly, and I never went back to that building. And then after I went to other city for my high school, for my college, I think I went maybe several times when I was in college. My American teacher took some of the students to the church. So I went there, but I was just kind of, I was more curious about who they are, but I never really heard about the word. So it never really touched my heart at all until I came to the U.S. I went to a church, the Liberty Church, and I think by that time, I started to really get the word into my mind, really to think about, ponder about the word. So, and in China, I didn't have someone I know personally who are genuine Christian. When I was in Toastmaster, it's a speech club.
Oh yeah, they have that here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the town where I'm broadcasting this program from. I went to one meeting of theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think there is a brother. He talked some about Christian energy to me, but still it didn't get into my heart.
Now, what is it like in China in regard to the restriction of or the freedom of personal belief in anything that would be considered religious, spiritual? Are there certain forms of Christianity that the government tolerates because it does not challenge anything about their ideology?
So right now in my hometown, when I go back home, I would attend the church in my town, and that town, that church is actually sponsored by our government. So that church is, you can see it says, love your country on the wall. Like, so that one is registered and is open for public. After 2018, we have new regulation. I think family church was kind of in a gray area before, but after that regulation, family church is regarded as illegal. And after COVID, because all the church went online, so new regulation comes as well, like to supervise the online sermon as well.
So I'm assuming by what you said that you return to this day for visits to China. And because from what I could remember from your testimony, you didn't start attending a church until you came here to the United States, but now you're talking about this government-run church that you visit in your hometown. So you return to China on occasion?
I was in the U.S. last time from 2014 to 2018. So I was here for 4 years, and that's when I really knew God and accepted God. And after that, I went back to China for 4 years, and now I came back last year in August.
Now, when you returned to China as a reborn believer in Christ, how did you react to this state-run church? Did they have the true gospel? Did they just speak a political message that was appeasing to the government? What was going on in that worship service, if even you could call it that? I have no idea what these churches are like there.
Yeah, so the church in my hometown, they would choose a part of Bible, and they make a PPT. I think probably they need to submit their PPT, their presentation, to the government first to let them know what they are going to do for this week.
And what is PPT? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. PPT is a presentation. Yeah, the Microsoft presentation. So I think they were quite biblical. They were talking about the Bible verses. It's quite like they didn't mention very sensitive topic. Jesus will come back soon. This kind of area, but more like, okay, we need to love people. Bible said something, and we need to rely on Lord. So they will give Bible verses as well. So even though they are sponsored by government, I still think the church in my hometown, they were doing fine of following the Bible.
Now, do you know why a communist dictatorship like China would even desire to have churches that they themselves run? Is it to offer enough freedom to the people so that they don't overtly rebel? Or what is the reasoning? Do you know what is the reason?
I in my opinion, I think there are at least two reasons. The first one is they know they couldn't remove all the Christians. Like, I think even at very early time, there were so many Christians start to speak up, and they knew they couldn't remove all of them. So instead of trying to pick them away, why not offer a place which are sponsored by the government, but also supervised by them, to let them to worship over there. And the other reason, I think they probably know we wouldn't do something harm for the most of the part for them. And I think they know Christianity are actually trying to have, like, they teach Christianity, teach people to be good. So at this part, I think they know. And also, by the constitution, it says we have freedom to believe in any religion.
Really? China, they have that in their constitution?
In our constitution, yes, we have freedom to believe in any religion. That's why Buddhism is allowed as well in China.
Now, was this always the case after the communist control of China took place?
I think so. I think since the beginning of the Republic of China was founded in 1949, by constitution, if I'm not wrong, by constitution, but people will break constitution, and they will give you any other reason to say maybe, your religion is not following the rules. The problem will use that reason to put some people in prison. But by constitution itself, it says we have freedom to believe in Christianity, religion. But if you want to be a communist party member, you can't have any religion. And Marxism is what you need to believe.
Really? So they would not permit a card-carrying member of the Communist Party to be anything but an atheist? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think the precondition to become a Communist Party, because you need to fill in the form of religion for if you want to join the party, it needs to be non-religion.
Really? That's interesting. And, yeah. And of course, whether they call it that or not, atheism and Marxism are religions. They're just false religions. people try to dance around that by claiming that they're not religions, but every ideology is a religion, whether it's identified that way or not. But we have to go to our first station break right now.
Sure.
If anybody, again, would like to join us on the air with a question for Non, please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And don't go away. We'll be right back with Non right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I am Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this absolutely mind-blowing offer. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener when they purchase a piece of jewelry for $100 or more from RoyalDiadem.com or have a custom-designed piece of jewelry created, whether it is a custom-designed engagement ring, or let's say you want to turn your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, or your seminary logo into a piece of jewelry like a ring or a pendant for a necklace or any other kind of jewelry that your imagination and creativity can conjure up. RoyalDiadem.com are masters at what they do. I have seen firsthand what they do. One of the sons of the woman who led me to Christ in the 1980s has a custom-designed cross pendant, custom-designed by RoyalDiadem.com. It is a cross with a crown of thorns on it, and it is absolutely stunning. And I am not exaggerating. I am not using hyperbole. It is one of the most gorgeous pieces of jewelry I've ever seen. So they know what they're doing. So if you have any interest in purchasing a piece of jewelry for yourself or for someone you love with Valentine's Day coming up, please go to RoyalDiadem.com, RoyalDiadem.com, and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so that we can receive 100% of the profits from that sale while they are still making this offer a reality to us. We don't know when they're cutting it off, so please try to do that as soon as possible. That's RoyalDiadem.com.
We're now back with Nan. We are referring to her only as Nan since she is was a Chinese atheist who was pursuing an acting career in the United States, and she found eternal life in Christ Jesus. She is an acting coach helping students audition for American and British drama schools. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarmson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Before I go to any of our listener questions, Nan, I'd like to go back even further in your life to when acting became something of great interest to you. What kind of acting were you able to see and enjoy and experience in China? Did you experience a lot of Western acting, American acting, or was it more exclusively Chinese? Tell us about that.
Oh, for movie, I think they feature some of the movies as well, but most of the world movies are accessible in China. Believe it or not, even before I become a Christian, my favorite movie is Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, very, very good movie. Very excellent movie.
So we are able to watch those kind of movie. And for me, when I was very young, I watched a movie. I didn't even know the movie's name, but I remember it was about a black guy who are trying to be a diver in the ocean. And
I saw that with William Gooding Jr. I think his name is Cuba Gooding Jr. I'm sorry, not William. Cuba Gooding Jr. and Robert De Niro, I believe, was.
I don't know. I didn't know English, but I just remember that moment. When I was watching that movie, I was so inspired by their spirit. Like their determination, their perseverance just touched me so hard. And I was thinking, I want to do this kind of acting for people as well to inspire them. So that's somehow kind of like I have this, the seed of acting planted in my heart.
And I'm assuming that in spite of the fact that China is a communist nation, that you are free to travel in other parts of the world, in the West and so on, as you are now doing here in the United States.
Yeah.
It seems to
be
a lot less restrictive than the former Soviet Union was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I'm free to go anywhere.
And let me start taking some of our audience questions because hopefully they've been waiting patiently. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, "How did your family react to your conversion to Christianity?"
Well, at the beginning, yeah, of course, they would think I was brainwashed by Western cultures.
Wow.
I think regardless of religion, I think country, you know, at a country level, somehow there is a hostile to each other. So like here, the information you know about China was not true as well. And the same for in China, like the information we got information about the U.S. was quite, the truth was twisted. So we would think, okay, because we are influenced by Western culture, that's why we would think in other ways. So yeah, at the beginning, my parents were reacting in that way, but then they say the change on me, especially they can feel related to what I tell them about what Bible says, like love, forgiving, grace. They didn't think there's any wrong about this issue. Yeah, and now I think they are okay about, because they didn't say there is any harm. But I was thinking if one day my life is threatened, or if I'm put into jail because of my faith, that will probably have a blow on my parents. But right now, because nothing really harming happening on me, so they are fine. And they agree with what we say, what I tell them about Bible, and they think what Bible says are quite good.
Now, what would cause the authorities to arrest you for your faith? What would be the demonstrable activity that you are involved in, which would be a fruit of your Christian faith, that would cause the government officials to say, oh, now you've crossed the line. Now we've got to silence you, arrest you, etc. What would be those issues? What would be those issues?
I can only talk about some simple reason. Like if they have some rules to say you should join in the registered church, but if I insist on join other church which may do something against with their rule, I would say that could be the reason, because I didn't follow their rule.
Now, when you were saying earlier that in order to be a member of the Communist Party, you would have to identify yourself as an atheist when you fill out the membership form, does the government treat people differently who refuse to become members, or just do not become members by virtue of the fact that they are Christian?
You mean for party members who are Christian, who are non-Christian?
Well, I'm saying, what is the benefit for a citizen of China to become a member of the Communist Party, and what would be the negative side if you say, well, I can't become a member because I'm a Christian, and that one of your rules, as from what you were referring to before, is that you have to be an atheist.
Okay, so that's all personal choice. Like, I didn't choose to join in the party. But I have classmates who choose to join the party. And for a lot of government position, you need to be in the party so that you can get the job and you can get promoted. So that's if we call it as benefit. That's kind of the way you do it.
So you're not restricted from any of the benefits of life in China by virtue of not being a member of the Communist Party?
I'm not. Yeah. I think we have equal rights with other people.
Now, is it just Christians, or you know, we hear about the Uyghur Muslims being persecuted there. Perhaps this is not something that's commonly known amongst those who are...
Again, by constitution, I just double-checked it. By the constitution, number 36, it says we have religious freedom. So for the persecution you talk about, I actually don't know the deep reason why they got persecuted, but you know, the news could be wrong by the news side, because there, you know, some foreign force about separating the country, because it's complicated. I think the whole issue, it's not just a religious issue, it's involved with the territory. Many people are involved in that issue. So I think it's hard to say it's just because of a religious reason. And from what I experienced, I have enough freedom, to be honest, in China.
Okay. We have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, who says, do the Christian churches in China that you are aware of preach repentance and trust in Christ for salvation? Do they teach that we are sinners in need of redemption? That would be that's an excellent question, because obviously that places the situation of what is being proclaimed by the church run, I mean the government run churches there, and are you free to tell someone in China, if they are an atheist, that they will be damned without trusting in Christ as their Lord and Savior?
They will be what?
Are you free to tell an atheist, for instance, in China, that they will be damned without Christ? They will be eternally damned.
Uh-huh. I'm free to say so. And, yeah. And for as to if the church talking about repenting and because the church I was in China is actually a family church, so I visited the state church. I mean, the church is responsible, is sponsored by the government. I visited there several times. I think I can ask, because I have this pastor's contact, and ask if they teach those things. But the church I was in, they teach so. We are very aware of what Bible says about sin, mm-hmm. repent.
Now, did you say earlier that the family churches are illegal, though?
I did.
Yes, so they're more free, not free according to the government, but they, in their own consciences, are free to preach whatever they believe the word teaches from the pulpit.
Family church, yes.
Yes. Okay, and we are going to our midway break right now. If anybody has a question, as Cindy had and others, please send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And this is the longer than normal break, folks, so please make use of this time wisely. The reason why it's a longer break is because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, is required by the FCC to use this time to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida. And they do that with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air in our midway break, while we simultaneously are airing our globally heard commercials. Please, I urge you to contact our advertisers as often as you can so that they know their dollars are being well spent and more successfully, or should I say, to further ensure that you more successfully contact them, please write down the contact information they provide in their ads. And when you cannot purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, please, at the very least, thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That will go a long way if they know that you are grateful that they are using some of the money that God has blessed them with to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They love this show so much, they want it to exist, and they put their hard-earned money to use by spending it here. So please thank them for that, if indeed you are grateful for that. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com for your questions. And don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. much less it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love,
Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And always remember, folks, make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. And please especially remember that, because they are one of our most valuable, most primary, most vital sponsors of this program. I cannot conceive that we could continue airing this broadcast if solid-ground-books.com were to cease financing us. So please keep that in mind. And also remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most valuable advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. At solid-ground-books.com, purchase frequently, purchase generously, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to our guest today, whom we are referring to as merely Nan, and that is because she was a Chinese atheist pursuing an acting career in the United States who found eternal life in Christ Jesus, currently an acting coach helping students audition for American and British drama schools. Before we continue that discussion, I just have a couple of very important announcements. If you really love this show, folks, you look forward to it every day. You benefit from the guests and topics we cover. You share the free downloadable MP3s with those that you love. Well, we need your help. We need your help urgently. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing physical checks to physical addresses the old-fashioned way, at your local post office, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch, ministry, your business, your private practice, like a medical practice or a law firm, or whether it's just a special event that you want to promote. Whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what we believe here, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in need of your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, I want to remind you, as I try to do every day, I never want my listeners giving their own church, where they are members, less money in order to give a financial gift to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, please never cut into the money that you have set aside every week to give to your church during the Lord's Day worship. Never give your church less money in order to bless us. Also, if you're really struggling to survive financially, please wait until you are back on your feet and more stable before you send us a gift financially. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture: providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you do have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you do have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial matters, please share some of that money with us. If you don't want us to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church near you, like I have done with many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the world. So if you are in that predicament where you are not a member of a biblically faithful church, or you love someone who is homeless spiritually, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Nan, a Chinese atheist, a former Chinese atheist who was pursuing an acting career in the United States, who found eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before I go to any listener questions, Nan,
yeah.
I remember I forgot to respond with a question when you said, just as in China, there are twisted teachings about what life and what the ideology is like here in the United States and in the West, just like that is a reality in China, where the truth is twisted, that occurs here, in your opinion, about what Americans are told about China. Can you be more specific about some of the things that we here wrongly believe typically about China?
I grew up in a family that a lot of our relatives are working for the government. They are trying to do their work. You know, for my grandparents' generation, they were very poor. People were starving. And in my generation, I can get the help to come to the United States. Even though we would say, okay, yeah, in terms of freedom, things can be should be criticized in China. But when I look at what I experienced and what my parents, my grandparents experienced, some of the things are really getting much better than before. That's why I wouldn't, you know, say, hey, when my grandma always say, oh, we need to be thankful for Chairman Mao, I wouldn't say, hey, you don't know what he did. Because because she experienced the improvement of her life. So I think, like, the coins have two sides. Sometimes the U.S. is emphasizing too much on one side and ignore the other side, which can create a certain stereotype.
And, well, thank you for that. And we do have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who asks, I'm assuming that the leftist actors and actresses here in the West may be just as hard to reach with the gospel as communists in China. Can you tell us about the comparison between opening up about your faith and evangelizing those that you know and love who are atheists in China and those that you know who are in your field of acting who may even hate Christ and Christianity?
Wow. Well, that's a thanks for the question. You know, the person who introduced me to Christ was a actress. We both of us were taking up acting in Boston, and one day she looked at me. She saw how hard I was working. She looked at me and she said, "Nan, do you know you don't have to work so hard? All you need to do is to give it to Lord." And I look at her in my brain. I was thinking, is she insane? Like, I don't need to work hard and just give it to someone I don't know. So, but then I, the part of me say, okay, she's so good. She really keeps a good dignity in our acting class. And I told myself she means something even, she means something more than what I thought. So after both of us went back to New York, I started to attend her church. So she's an actress, but yes, a lot of other actors and actresses I know here, they are not Christians, they are very driven by their personal their ambitions. They're selfish and ambitious. So was I. And in terms of unchristians in China, because for the church are not so easily accessible for the majority of population. So yes, by that level, they it's not easy for them to hear God's words. But I think it's really doing the work in China, like how I knew him, and through him I can tell my parents, my family, my friends, and there are also a lot of underground churches are really growing largely. So at that level, I think God is working as the plan.
Now, what was, forgive me for asking you to repeat this, what kind of churches are growing largely?
I think I said underground.
Oh, okay. And those are the ones that would be more in alignment with family churches, right, who are really trying to remain faithful to the scriptures no matter what the cost may be.
Mm-hmm.
We have Susan Margaret from Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, I don't know how familiar you are with Reformed theology within Christianity, but I was wondering how prevalent that is or scarce in China.
In China. Okay. So I am in a Reformed church now. I'm in OPC. Before OPC, I went to not too extreme church. I tried two directions because I found here church will either go very like the modern church, non-denominational church, where we don't listen to God's words strictly. Like they will use one or two Bible verses and then use the worldly psychological kind of explanation. But then there's the other direction, which is like a kind of controlling one. So I went to both. At the very beginning, I was in the church and I felt I was not fed very well. So I left. But then I stumbled into a Jehovah Witness, and because they are having Bible classes every week and they are really reading Bible. So I kind of went two kinds, and then now I mean a Reformed church where I think is keeping a very good balance. Like, you have this system to take each other accountability, but at the same time, it's not controlling. It's more following what Bible talks about a church, how a church should be. And in terms of China, when I went back last time to China, I tried to find priest OPC as well, but it was not very common. But there was Baptist Church, Trinity Church, yeah. But also a lot of non-denominational churches.
Well, thank you for that excellent question, Susan Margaret. We have Robert in Westchester County, New York. And Robert asks, what are some typical excuses that Chinese atheists or non-Christians have in rejecting Christ?
So when I think when life is okay, it's easy to just live their own life, because it seems like nothing has to do with God. It's like how I was before. When my life was okay, why I need to believe in God? And then when I realized that there is a problem, when I really see my own sin. Oh, the other one is the excuse is that in terms of sin, because people will still think about good action. They think if they have good action, it means they are good people. And now you tell them you are born with sin. It's hard to accept that. It's like it's hard for us to admit our faults. It's just hard for people or non-Christian to do that. I saw the other one. I couldn't think of now. But there could be many excuses to reject him.
Do you think that fear has a lot to do with it? I mean, there are people who are terrified even here in the United States to be open and willing to listen to the truths of Christianity, because they know that they very well may lose their jobs, they may lose their friends, they may lose even their families, even here, if people hate what Christianity stands for. In the case of the Chinese, would there be, in addition to that, any kind of fear of government oppression, of what might happen to them if they even give an open ear to consider what you have to say as a Christian, in fear that they might actually believe it?
For my experience, I haven't really seen people who reject God because of they have the fear they may lose friends or jobs. I think the fear, like when I had the fear before I admitting God as an atheist, is the fear I'm going to lose myself, because I was living a life I want to live. I can pursue what I want to pursue, living a lifestyle I want to live. And now all of a sudden, now here is a God asking me to give up what I want to do. It's like the fear of I'm going to lose myself. I'm going to become a servant for someone. There is that kind of fear, I think, in a lot of atheist heart.
We have, Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, wants to know how much of the true biblical gospel and Christian theology was available in China through different forms of media and the internet. Let me add to that myself, literature, books, and so on.
Okay, so I think before we can still purchase Bible online, but I think for recent year it seems like you can get it online. you can get it for a public website, but you can still find some ways to purchase them. But for more like literature books, for example, The Pilgrim Progress, I even got one before I came here. Like, so for that kind of literature, which has Christian beliefs, that one are still accessible.
That's interesting, because that was written by a man who was imprisoned for his faith.
Yes.
How about more modern reformed authors that are solid? I think that the majority of professing Christians writing books today are writing horrible books. But
horrible?
I think the majority are. But as far as good, solid reformed books of today, is there anything available over there?
Yes. We even had a small group study about Tim Keller's The Meaning of Marriage and The Meaning of I Got the Meaning of Work. So that kind of book we can buy online.
That right now, that's the only one that you could think of as far as a reformed author.
Because I didn't read by other books, so I couldn't say for other books.
Mm-hmm. And let's see here. We have an anonymous listener, and the anonymous listener says, I don't even feel the freedom to open up about my personal faith in Jesus Christ in my own home here in the United States because of the hatred I experience from my own family. What advice do you have in regard to enabling people by God's grace to be more bold and honest regardless of the outcome when it comes to Christianity?
Well, I'm sorry about what you experienced. I think it must be very, very hard for you. That's why you couldn't really be open up yourself. So far, I haven't been treated badly because of my faith. But the way I approached to people in China was I emphasized the part that I think they can understand. Like when I talk with my parents and even my grandparents, I emphasize about the part of love. I didn't mention if you don't know God you will go to hell. I didn't mention that, more for like God will help me to be more loving, be more tolerant. I will tell them how I experienced from God. Even when I was in the church in my hometown where we have other Chinese governor was there as well, I would open it to say, hey, I'm a Christian, and Christianity helps me a lot to know my life and the world. So I would emphasize the part I think they can relate to as well.
We have Miguel in Barnstead, New Hampshire. He has a couple of questions. I'll read the first one to you first, obviously. I read much in the media about Christian persecution in China. Is this not as prevalent as what's being reported about China? Or perhaps it may be similar to instances we see here in the United States. Can you share examples of Chinese persecution in China you may have witnessed?
I was in a church in Beijing, and it's a family church, and we would have some police kind of walking around that building, but they didn't really do anything. And then when after COVID started, our church had to give up that building, and we started to have sermon online. But then we started to rent different places, location. So from from where I was before, I haven't really witnessed people who were persecuted. But I read a book. There was one, if you want to know more, probably you can read. It's called The Heavenly Man by Brother Yun.
The Heavenly Man?
Yeah.
And by who? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the author.
Yun. Y-U-N Yun.
Oh, it's a Chinese author?
Yes. But that was not relevant. That was not that that is not prevalent. That was like 1980s. So for current situation about persecution, I personally haven't really witnessed.
Now, what do those in what you have already described as illegal churches, the family churches, the underground churches, what have they said to you, if anything, about what they believe may happen to them if the government becomes aware of what they're doing? What kind of threat do they believe is mm-hmm. imposed upon them? What kind of consequences do they...
So first I've heard the Christian will be invited to have a tea with them.
Means invited to have a what? I'm sorry?
To drink tea with them.
Oh, okay.
Which means they were kind of like, okay, talk with you a little bit and kind of give you a little bit warning reminding something. And they will not, from what I heard, they will really talk with you a little bit. Not like, okay, go to your room, go your home and take you away. So they would talk with you and see how things goes with you.
And if somebody persists, though, in disobeying the government, I'm assuming they would be arrested, wouldn't they?
I don't really know, to be honest. So many, the persecution I heard was actually when I was here in the U.S. I didn't really hear that much when I was in China. And I'm not sure what I heard here, how much of them are true. So I don't think I'm qualified to answer this question.
Okay.
And also people around me, they didn't experience that as well. But there were several of them were invited probably to have a tea.
Okay, and what happened when they came back after the tea? Did they just continue as they were already doing? Okay.
Yeah, you continue to their original life.
Miguel has a second question. My wife has befriended a coworker who recently emigrated from China and is living with her family already here as citizens. The coworker is not a Christian. What advice can you share regarding ways my wife can open up to her coworker about Christianity?
I think it's a very good question. I think let them experience love is very important because we talk so much about love, but when we are blinded, like I was blinded, talking sometimes didn't work very well. It works, you know, we know him by words. Yes, it is true. But also, when I really experience physically, emotionally, psychologically, experience God, that's where things really can change. So let them experience God's love, God's glory, and let them see what it looks like to be a light, to be salt. Well, really, because they know how different your presence is, and that will be in their heart. They will remember that until maybe one day when timing is good, things can be changed.
Well, we have to go to our final break. It's going to be more brief than the other breaks. But if you do have a question that you'd like to ask, I would recommend strongly that you send it in as quickly as possible because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Non right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back, and before I return to my interview with Non, I do have a very exciting announcement to make. This coming September, I am going to be attending and manning an exhibitors booth once again at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia. The theme of this conference is on one of my favorite themes, the sovereignty of God, and it features some very powerful speakers, including Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Aniel, Josh Bice, and my dear friend of many years, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And even more exciting about this news is that I have been given a discount code for my listeners that will give you 30% off the cost of registering for this conference. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, which stands for G3 Ministries, g3min.org, and when you register, enter the promo code G3ISIR, that's G3ISIR for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and you will get 30% off on your registration fee. So please do that as soon as possible. This conference is Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd in Atlanta, Georgia, and I hope you join me there. And if you do join me there, I hope that you visit me at my exhibitors booth as I man every year there. Well, we are back now with Nan, and our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question, chrisarnson@gmail.com. I'd like you, before I go to any listener question, to have a couple of uninterrupted minutes where you really bear open your heart and you give our listeners what you most want etched in the hearts of our on the hearts and minds of our listeners today before they go off, before we go off the air. I want to make sure that the most primary and essential things you would like to say to our listeners is heard before we go into too many listener questions.
I was thinking about the previous session, how to approach to their Chinese coworker who is atheist. I think to know that person's problem, like what is where that person's mind is stuck in terms of believing Christianity, and try to know that. That will help to talk more about God to that person. Because for me, I met a brother. He really helped me a lot in terms of my logic of thinking of God. Because I was stuck there, and he spent hours and hours just helped me to kind of see, okay, here this is where you know your mind rested over there. But he would explain to me. Because it's not like I didn't want to believe. It's just the way I was educated for so many years. I became a Christian when I was 27. So I lived in one way for 27 years. And all of a sudden, if you want me to change, it was like my mind, my brain was bombed. So I think the way to approach for non-Christian is to know their issue, where their mind gets stuck. Yeah. And also, I also want to emphasize about grace for one of the questions we touched. Like, I was talking with a friend of mine. She's working for UN as a translator the day before yesterday. She's a Chinese as well. She believes in Buddhism. And she has a very good conscience about the bad part of her heart. She remember all the moments she choose from evil and good, and she knew her instinct will just let her to choose the bad choice. But then the way she solved the problem is to try very hard to keep alert, to always like better herself, because she thinks there are saints who can achieve that. But I said to her, you know, one of the things I experienced through God is grace. I told her I tried your way, but that way didn't work on me, because I found no matter how hard I beat myself, I will be either very proud of myself or thinking very low of myself if I try things in my way, if I try to achieve it by myself. But if I receive God's grace, I will not have those two extreme feelings either being proud or being feeling horrible about myself, because I achieved that by God's grace. So I think this is another thing we can tell people as well. That can, yeah.
Amen. And yeah, I have heard from people who were in either Christian denominations that are not reformed or even in cults that place them on a works righteousness treadmill, and they wind up very often being so burned out, knowing that they could never do enough to earn God's favor, that many of these people just abandon religion altogether. And it's interesting because many of these groups and religions teach people that without that fear, that constant fear that you drill into people's minds, you're going to lose them because they're not going to be afraid of abandoning that religion. But they wind up abandoning it anyway because they know they can never satisfy the requirements of those religions. So none of us can satisfy the law, what the law demands. And that's why our Savior, Jesus Christ, the God-man, the only perfect, spotless lamb, the only perfectly obedient and righteous substitute that we could have die for us on Calvary, that's the very reason he had the wrath of his own Father poured upon him on the cross. And I praise God for that every moment that I have the opportunity. We have, let's see here, I was just looking at it moments ago. We have, Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania. And Joseph says, do you miss China enough to return there permanently, or are you enjoying life as a Christian too much here in the United States?
Oh, I will go back. Even this time when I came to the U.S., I know I will go back to China after I finish my my education program, because I think that's the door God opened for me to do in China. Last time when I went back China as an actress, and somehow teaching just kind of approached to me. So many people were asking me to teach people. I can do what I do in China. Actually, can make more difference over there, because here in the U.S., your education system is already quite developed, and but in China, even I only do a little bit, it can really help a lot for students.
Well, so the education here may be developed, but it's also very corrupt.
I know. I didn't think about it that seriously, but you know, now studying in NYU, I'm exposed in so many different ways of looking at education.
And how is your faith received at NYU? I mean, that's known as a extremely left-wing institution. You know, and I have seen in my life as a Christian, I don't know if you have witnessed this, but left-wing institutions tend to be more gracious to those that are not white Anglo-Saxons who are Christians than they would be towards someone like me. They tend to be more tolerant to ethnic and racial minorities who express their faith. Is that what you are experiencing or no?
Exactly. We have so many classes talking about create inclusive classroom, which means we need be open to every kind of situation, homosexuality, transgender, different race. So yeah, you are right about it. And because it sounds quite, if I'm not a Christian, I think I will think, oh wow, it sounds so lofty, like wow, you are open for everyone. But now I understand it from another perspective, of the education development the U.S. is actually experiencing now. Yeah.
We have a question from RJ in White Plains, New York, who wants to know, have you ever become aware of a government official or at least a high-end government employee with authority who is actually secretly harboring a Christian faith?
You mean in China?
I'm assuming that's what the listener meant.
Yeah. I'm not aware of that, yeah.
So you've never even heard anecdotally about that that occurring, where there might be even people who are turning a blind eye to certain things just to protect Christians or anything like that?
You know, my parents are working for the government, and my aunt and other family members are. I really didn't hear about such things. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just curious. And, well, we don't have time for any further questions from the audience, so I'll just ask a final one of my own. How would you like us to pray for you?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I wish my relationship with God can be strengthened. My understanding of him can be more expanded. So when I go back, no matter what happened, I can still be rooted firmly in him, and to really become a vessel for him, to do the plan he has for us.
Well, it's been an honor and privilege to have you on the program. You're a delightful Christian woman, and hope I have the opportunity to share fellowship with you and those Christians who are expressing their hospitality and love toward you there in the United States.
Yeah.
And I look forward to receiving updates from you. Just out of curiosity, before we go, I know that you're an instructor when it comes to acting. Are you pursuing more of the acting career as your own livelihood here and when you return to China, as far as being an actress?
I'm more doing for like an education part now. I had I have theater in China. We would do improvisation for the community. But most of the part I'm doing education, drama and education. So for myself, I kind of rely on God to say, if there is a chance for me to act, I would love to act. For example, before I came here, we did a Christian film, a small, like short Christian film. I love those kind of chances to do acting, but most of the part, I think my career will be more education oriented, to use drama as a way to help people to improve the personal growth. Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. I want to thank everybody.
My pleasure. Thanks all the listeners for the questions. Thank you. Thank you for listening to me. I hope my English is clear enough for everybody to understand.
Yes, your English is more clear than many people I know who are born and raised right here in the United States.
Thank you, Lord.
And I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.